Hi, this is Justine To. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Now, the debate around refugee policy in Australia is fraught at the best of times, and I think it's easy to get lost in the policy detail and forget that there are human stories behind the headlines. And this is where Welcome to Australia comes in. Welcome to Australia is a national volunteering organisation that creates spaces for diverse people to come together and share their stories. So we're talking locals and new arrivals, refugees and Australian citizens. It wants to cut through the complexities of policy and start a better conversation, one carried out at the grassroots level between those who've lived here for a long time and those who've come across the seas. And all of this was Brad Chilcott's idea. He's the founder and director of Welcome to Australia and a pastor at Adelaide's Activate Church. Brad, welcome to CPX.
Thanks for having me.
Now, is that a fair assessment of what Welcome to Australia does?
Yeah, that's right. We seek to change the conversation around asylum seekers, refugees, multiculturalism, and new arrivals in Australia. Basically, we want to humanise the issue to help people realise that when we hear about boats or policies or refugee conventions, we're talking about human beings with the same kind of dreams, hopes, aspirations as you and I have.
And how did this idea come about?
In late 2011, Inverbrachy Detention Centre opened outside of Adelaide. And around that time in 2010, when it was beginning to be on the agenda, there were these ugly protests in the media where 10-year-old Aussie kids were holding up signs that said, "Sink the boats." And essentially, I saw these protests and something reacted in me where I said, I don't want my children to be raised in a nation where it's okay for a parent to hand their child a sign basically hoping people drown at sea. There was not only something wrong with the way that we were treating asylum seekers, there was also something desperately wrong with what we were doing to our own national character.
And so what did you decide to do? How did it all come together?
Well, really, the first idea we had was that you don't change the conversation by winning a policy debate. You don't change the conversation by knowing enough facts and figures about asylum seekers and international law. But when you get someone sitting across the table from an asylum seeker or a refugee and hearing their story, you can't help but have your heart touched. You can't help but recognise the common humanity in another person. So we began with a simple idea of having welcome parties in people's homes, schools, offices. We put out the idea on social media, and within a couple of months we'd had 100 of these welcome parties around Australia. So we knew something was in it. We also started attracting high-profile Australian ambassadors, and our target really was to have new voices speaking to new audiences about these issues.
So can you take us back to one of the early, I guess, welcome parties that you had? What happened there? How did you get in touch with people who were new arrivals to the country, and how did it all go down?
I guess it really began for me as a pastor. We had a number of Congolese refugees begin joining our community at Activate, and I recognised that as the debate raged in the media and increasingly fear was being used as a tactic to divide Australians and to gain support for different political parties, that this directly impacted on the life of the people that I'd become friends with. They suddenly were being, I guess, hinted at that they were somehow queue jumpers or terrorists or, had come to Australia to rob us of our jobs and welfare payments and, you know, get free plasmas for their houses, and all the things that you hear don't happen in a vacuum. They impact on real people's lives. And so for me, it all began with these Congolese people hearing their story, that they'd seen their parents killed in front of their eyes and all of these kind of things. And I knew that I had my heart changed by hearing their stories. And so we just began creating opportunities for Australians to have similar conversations over a meal, over watching a video like Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, or even just more constructed opportunities for a refugee to tell their story in a new audience of people that might not have had that opportunity before.
Brad, has it ever been the experience where you've had someone who's a little bit suspicious of refugees come to one of these parties, and then have they been changed as a result of hearing someone's story?
That's been the ongoing story of Welcome to Australia, really, that people who have held even really fearful or racist views have come in contact with asylum seekers and refugees through various of our programs, including the welcome parties. And when you meet people, like I said at the beginning, something definitely changes. But also we made a really intentional decision that we would only communicate positively throughout our whole existence as an organisation. We felt like the left and the right were kind of in this big slanging match over these issues, and that middle Australia had just switched off. They were sick of the vitriol and the anger coming from both sides. And so we made a decision that we would simply call out the best in Australians, say we are welcoming, we're compassionate, we're kind people, let's remember that. And we've found that a lot of people have responded to this positive vision for Australia even more than they have, you know, thought to themselves, wow, I learned some new things about refugee law.
Is it hard, though, sometimes, given the debate and the kind of tone of debate that we have in Australia, for these gatherings not to take on, like, a policy dimension? Does that make sense? Is it hard not to get caught up in that sort of kind of conversation, even in the midst of hearing someone's story?
All of this humanising of asylum seekers then has policy implications. I think for us it's more about a starting point. What's the foundation of the national debate going to be? Is it going to be that there are human beings coming to Australia for protection and we need to work out a positive way of dealing with this globally complex issue? Or is our foundation going to be we need to protect Australia from these devious foreign invaders? And so both of those have policy implications, but the starting point for that conversation for us needs to be firstly humanity, the human rights issues related to it, but also a vision for Australian community that is not one where fear and division gets to infect our suburbs, but rather compassion and kindness gets to be what we're known for.
And I think the idea has really taken off. Can you give us a snapshot of, you operate nationally. How many different volunteers have you got operating across the country?
So volunteer numbers fluctuate depending on different programs we have going, but we do have 6 branches around Australia. We run a national event. We've done it for 2 years now, called Walk Together. This year it was in 16 cities on the same day in June, with way more than 10,000 people involved. Our Facebook page has more than 70,000 fans, and we run a range of different opportunities for people to get involved in welcoming new arrivals, from international student mentoring to providing material aid to people on bridging visas with empty homes, and again, welcome parties and other opportunities, detention centre visits, and a whole range of ways that Australians can make new arrivals feel welcome in their community.
What do you think people get out of actually being involved and hearing these stories?
One of the main kinds of feedback that we get is people saying, I'm so frustrated with this negative debate, what can I personally do about it? Now, we're a very small organisation in terms of our funding and staffing levels, but what we do is when we get that kind of feedback from the public, we say, where do you live? And here are 10 opportunities in your area for you to put that frustration into a positive outcome. You know, here's an opportunity for you to go and meet an asylum seeker, a refugee, another new arrival, and provide something positive to them. We also just encourage people to be friendly and to not underestimate the impact that can take place in a person's life when they just meet one person who's willing to welcome them. For me, when I began Welcome to Australia, I had this image, I guess, in my head of a Muslim person or a Chinese person or someone from another nation who'd been here for 15, 20 years and no one had ever said to them, you are welcome here. And all they'd ever seen is the negative debate, you know, raging on their newspaper or TV. And the power of an Australian long-term citizen simply saying to someone, I'm glad you're part of my community, is a really powerful thing.
Yeah, it really struck me on your website. It says, you know, help create a culture of welcome. And it really struck me because I was like, of course, you know. Do you have any thoughts as to why we are so unwelcoming or why that whole capitalising on fear has made such an impact in the Australian community? I remember Tim Costello some time ago has been talking about he's observing that Australians are grumpy and disillusioned and even insular a lot. And he was linking that perhaps to, you know, where we've got rising prosperity and yet, but at the same time, we're not grateful for what we have. Do you have any thoughts on that and why and how that might contribute to this culture of unwelcome?
Well, I think the fear is a very powerful motivator of people, and the fear of loss, you know, the fear that I might lose the standard of living that I have. And when that fear is able to be whipped up at a time where job insecurity is increasing, when cost of living pressures are increasing, when the kind of employment that people have is so much more casualized, and all of those kind of things kind of come together, and we look for a scapegoat for that. It's a bit simplistic to say we're just selfish, but I think when our political leaders scapegoat newcomers as those who are going to steal our jobs, rape our women, and, you know, turn our suburbs into hellholes, then we kind of conflate the cost of living pressures and the job insecurity and use those people as an outlet for that kind of fear and insecurity.
It is really depressing when you see it like that. And I think Australia has a particular kind of fear of the outsider as well, given our history. Mm. Now, you've already mentioned before how both sides of federal politics are in some ways like in a race to the bottom, who can be crueler to asylum seekers. Do you think that the work of Welcome to Australia translates in some way to more humane policies on the ground?
I think we take a long-term strategy for this, that definitely there has been, you know, some positive opportunities to have a voice into policy and outcomes. But the reality is that our political leaders respond to what the electorate tells them to respond to. And so our whole idea of cultivating a culture of welcome is that our political leaders will see that in their community, in their electorate, the people are no longer standing for words and actions of cruelty and fear and division. We want to create an electorate that demands leaders of vision, of compassion, of kindness, leaders that will stand for their convictions, whether it seems electorally popular at the time. But our idea is that we create that as an electoral reality, that and that's a long-term goal. I don't think, for me, a win is not just that mandatory detention or offshore detention ends. A win is that the Australian people say, we can't do this in our name any longer. It's not who we are. It's not the kind of leaders we want to vote for. So for me, it's about social and attitudinal change, not just having a policy victory.
Yeah, it's changing the heart in those terms. Now, you're a pastor as well as the director of Welcome to Australia, and people today often want to believe that public and private are two very different things, but I'm sure your faith is a very key part of what you do and why you do it.
I've been radically included in the family of God, despite so many reasons not to be included in that family. And so for me, being an inclusive, welcoming, compassionate person is a direct response to what I feel I've received from my relationship with God. He's invited me unconditionally into the community of God. And so my response to that is to invite people unconditionally into my community, my experience, my family.
Now, Brad, you mentioned that your church community is on this journey with you. How have you seen them respond to this work?
I think the way that we've been able to communicate it to our community and also to other churches that I speak to is simply to say, when you ask what kind of church would you like to be a part of, we would generally respond with welcoming, a place that anyone is able to feel accepted, that no matter where you've come from, where you've been, or what your lifestyle has been like, that you are welcome and acceptable here. That's how we would describe the ideal church community. And when we put it like that and say, well, why wouldn't we want our community or our nation to reflect those same values? People are like, oh, yeah, obvious. And so for us, it's been going on that journey of what that looks like in practice when Congolese and Iranian and Muslim and other people of other faiths start to join our community. What does that look like in practice to allow people to belong regardless of whether they believe, and to allow people to be a part of a community that reflects the life and values of Jesus, whether they believe in Jesus or not? And I guess that's the journey that we're on, and that we're learning how to live out as a lifestyle.
It's such a great organisation, such a great idea, very profound idea, very simple idea, but has huge ramifications. How can people get involved, Brad?
Visit our website, welcometoaustralia.org.au, and fill in your details there. People in our branches around Australia will get in touch.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks so much for talking to us about Welcome to Australia.
Thanks for having me.